following is an interview with Mr. Alan Funston of English Road Berwick, who is a Berwick Cemetery trustee, and it was conducted on August the 22nd, 1985. Mr. Funston has lived in English Road Berwick all his life and was a farmer there during the Depression and World War II.
What age were you during the Depression and World War II?
I was born in 1922, and so therefore I was during the Depression. I was up to 1939, about 17 years.
Yeah, okay. And whereabouts did you live all the time?
Right where I am now.
And what was your occupation?
Occupation was dairyman.
And was it on English Road?
Yes.
And during the war, were you, did you stay working on the farm?
Yes.
All through the war?
Yes.
And what about during the Depression? Were you working on the land then?
Well, actually, I didn't leave school until I left school when I was 16. So therefore, I left school around about 1938.
All right.
And then that's when I started.
Well, could you notice any impact from the Depression on your life? Even though you were at school, or on your parents' life at home, or anything like that? Impact, you know, any changes that occur because of that?
No. I think that we were probably one of the lucky ones through the Depression. Because at least the majority, a lot of people through the Depression, or I guess the majority of people through the Depression were struggling, even if they had permanent jobs and so forth. They were highly paid by any means, but they were lucky to have a job, and I think that we were probably one of the lucky ones to have had a little business that was earning the same.
And the farm, would that have been a help because you had your own produce coming in?
Most definitely. I was only talking to a chap the other day, as a matter of fact, and he was a few years older than I am. But we were talking about the Depression days, and he said that his family, that because they had were able to keep a cow, and they grew all their own vegetables, things like this, they made this and they got by, and they were fairly well looked after. But because of that fact, so therefore, with having a little bit of land and having the commodities such as milk and butter, and being able to grow vegetables and all this type of thing, and have poultry and this type of thing, you were able to live reasonably well.
And this was there much of a demand on your produce?
Well, we were able to sell whatever we were able to produce.
So in that way, you sort of wouldn't notice the state of depression?
No.
So when the war came, did that change at all? Did that situation change? I mean, was there a greater demand on your produce at all?
Well, not as far as our produce was concerned, because we were confined to just producing milk. And then, of course, we were selling it retailing it around the town. So therefore, and the population didn't increase at all, so we were just more or less in much the same position, I guess, as we were in the later Depression years. That was just as far as we were concerned. But then, of course, if you like to go further afield, when you get into the bigger farms and so forth, yes.
During the Depression, did the government do much to create jobs, or was there much unemployment around Berwick, around the area?
Yes, it was a lot of unemployment, a tremendous amount of unemployment all around the countryside. See, firms were going broke, businesses were just struggling, putting off people all the time, and so it was. The government knows in the Depression days, I guess, I don't really know the situation because I was so young, I guess, but They didn't get, what's what we call it today, government subsidy today, they get it today. They got it, I think, a book I'm just reading just recently, was they would get coupons. To go and get food.
Yes, instead of getting the dole, they get coupons.
And so that the unemployed would have to line up each week at a certain place in various areas to get their coupons to go and get food. Mm. Now, it wasn't enough, you know, really to keep them, but at least it's something that probably kept them alive at the moment.
Yes. And, well, down in Kuyupu, the swamp was drained around the Depression years. Was that anything to do with the government and unemployment?
Yes. I'd say that would be for sure. They would have spent money down there and helped, you know, had fellows working down there.
Did it employ many people, do you know?
I don't think it employed a great number of people, no. I think possibly, you know, I don't know. I couldn't tell you really the exact, but it wouldn't be, wouldn't be hundreds. Like, it would be probably dozens of people.
And during the Depression, during World War II, what was Kuyurup's purpose during, was there?
Oh, well, that was a very significant part of the food production in the way of vegetables in the main. Just hundreds of acres of vegetables were grown there through the war, and they were recruited.
Part of the essential services?
For the essential services.
So in other words, during the Depression, it was used for to employ people, and during the war, it was used to produce food.
Right.
And what about the Berry Quarry? That was underway quite a number of years before the Depression started. But did that employ more people during the Depression?
No, I would think not. I would think that actually it was always, you know, it produced the, probably the, they tell me some of the best blue stone that's ever been produced in the state, the quality of metal.
Yes.
I don't know over the years, like that, even up to 100 years ago, whether it employed a lot of people. I think it probably like Berwick in those days would have only had a population of a few hundred people. And so therefore I suppose if we employed 20 fellows up there, well, it was quite a substantial industry within the town. And you can understand why it wouldn't employ very many, because it was horse and dray days.
Yeah.
So, and the horse and dray would go out with a yard, 2 yards, or a yard and a half of metal on, and it might have to travel 5 or 6 miles to deliver that dray load of metal. So,
It's
very, very slow. Whereas a truck goes out today, he's got 20 tons in it, 12 yards of metal on the road, and so and he travels there in a fraction of the time.
Obviously, yeah. And during the World War II, did that change the situation with the quarry, or did it just tick over as normal?
It just ticked over as normal, and it wasn't actually, it just more or less ticked over as normal, the quarry. In fact, it may have got down less in production through the war. And then after the war, do you want to go on that?
Yeah, sure.
After the war, it was still fairly slow going, because there wasn't, I guess, there wasn't the money around for the government and the councils to be doing much to the roads after the expenditure of the war and so forth. But later on, I guess in about the 50s, I'd say, then the big firms came in and took the quarry over, really. Who were they? But anyhow, it gradually built up, you know, and there was hundreds of thousands of tons of metal going out every week.
During the Depression, was there more people going out and trying to establish their own farms, establish their own little market gardens, maybe? Was that a trend, like? Because obviously, you know, the first thing you think of is growing your own greens, so you save yourself some money in that.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. don't think there's any doubt about that. But then, of course, they found that the log and found they couldn't sell them. That was another problem, you see, because the markets were probably glutted and people didn't have to buy them. So that was a problem.
And so during World War II, would you say World War II would have sort of relieved a bit of the unemployment that was around the area a lot?
You see, once World War II came, unemployment vanished because, you see, of the hundreds of thousands that were taken up, or tens of thousands, whatever it was, taken up in services alone, and then the thousands that were taken up in employment with ammunition factories and so forth, and essential services, and then, of course, with all the essential services everywhere, it was just, it got to the stage where the manpower ran out. And this is when women came into the workforce a great deal.
Yes.
Because they joined the army as well as all the services. Then they had land army girls that were coming out who joined what they call the land army, going and working on the land because there weren't enough men to do the labour.
And was there any munition factories in the area?
Not this area.
Well, the population, the male population of Berry, was that seriously deflated by the war?
Yes.
Most people went away, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, there was a lot of us, my age group around. Well, practically all of us were.
Mm.
And there's only one or two of us around.
Why was the one or two, why did they stay back?
Well, because we were exempted from service because of the fact that we had a dairy, and so they considered that as an essential business to carry on, to deliver milk and so forth to the area around. So they certainly, on farms in particular, a lot of those chaps were exempted because they had to produce.
And up in Hallam, was there a base there, an army base there, is that right? Or was there an army base close around Berwick somewhere?
Well, there was one at Hampton Park.
Hampton Park.
Yeah.
And was that where most of the people who were signed up from here went to?
Yeah, I think what happened, a lot of them would go to there for a start, and then eventually, after a short period of time, got the division of the army or whatever it was they're going to go into, and then they'd be transferred from there to those particular camps all around the countryside. They might have been what they call them, those signallers, and there was gang fellows,
And was there any base in Berwick, any surveillance or anything like that in Berwick that was looking out for trouble, so to say?
Yeah. We had firstly we had all over the Commonwealth, actually. There was Sandra yesterday, it's a, I think of the name, but voluntary defence, or VDC they call themselves, and these fellows like myself that were left behind, we were here for that. And we'd go and train every once a week on a Sunday morning and have rifle practice and this type of thing. It was just a sort of a backup, I suppose, if we were going to be invaded, well, that's what we're going to be much good at this time. Here as a backup, They taught us how to use explosives and things like this, which I suppose was something. If you were going to be invaded, well, you had bridges and all this type of stuff.
Would you say then it would have sort of, that sort of, the VDC would be something like CFA training people, something like that? On that scale, would it be?
Well, not on that scale, but it was that type of thing, yes. It was that type of thing, but because there was much more, we weren't compelled to do it. Just a voluntary type of thing. And then we had the air spotting station here up at St Margaret's Girls School, actually, where that was manned 24 hours a day. by volunteers who would go on for, say, a couple of hours, ships at a time, like we had to help 24 hours. And we had to, any aeroplane that went over, we had to report it to surface. So they could check that plane and see what it was.
But there wouldn't have been very much of a fear, as I say, in
not really. No.
A bit away from it.
Yes. No, there wasn't really. Because it was essential. It was one of those things that happened right throughout the country. You know, everything was blacked out, even buried and everywhere. You just couldn't allow to have a light on. At night, everything was blacked out, and all your entertainment centres, churches, and all that type of thing were blacked out.
Well, Casey's Airfield, that was founded around the time of Depression, World War II. Was that anything to do with the war at all?
Not at all. Nothing at all.
That was just purely for entertainment?
Just a private setup.
And the Red Cross, do they have much of influence in the area? Do they do very much around
here?
Yeah,
there's a tremendous amount of work. The Red Cross is as the Red Cross, and then they formed the Junior Red Cross up, which made Paul's and then myself and a lot of people. Our job was, the Junior Red Cross in those days then, was to raise money to support a prisoner of war. And I think this would cost £50 a year to support a prisoner of war. And so it was the idea of the Junior Red Cross was to try and raise money to, you know, support a prisoner of war or two prisoners of war.
These were prisoners of war captured by Australia?
No. Prisoners of war. No, that's a good question. I think it's prisoner of war where the Red Cross and so forth were going in to help our prisoners of war. Now, don't ask me what way, how they got it to them and so forth, but I guess there was some agreement between the countries where the Red Cross could go in and help the various prisoners of war.
Yeah, they can do things like that today anyway.
Yeah.
So were they a major establishment sort of in relation to the war then around Berwick, were they?
Well, they were nationwide, I guess. Most areas where the Red Cross was operating, Red Cross operating in most areas in those days, as they do today. More so, I guess, in those days.
What about hospitals? Any hospital units or anything like that set up especially for the war?
Not around here. Bush Nursing Hospital in Bengay, as long as I can remember, but it's a special one.
And was there any special things set up, any other activities that were special just for the war?
Not in this area, as far as I remember. Not in this area.
What about, say, taking a bit out or like around Dandenong or down Cruyffway or anything like that? Anything notable?
Look, I don't think so.
So what I was trying to get at is that Berwick wasn't sort of on its own, exempt from the...
Now, I think Berwick was doing probably the same type of work as hundreds of other towns within the state of Cronulla.
So just generally unaffected would be a general way to put it, by the war. So would you say, like, anything good came out of the war? Anything good that you could see? I mean, was there... I had a newspaper clipping, it said victory loans. And something like that, that people could invest in what they call the victory loans, and then things like that. Were they good aspects of the war?
Oh yes, I think so. Yes. I think, you know, it's one. The war was a dreadful thing, but I guess it started the country again on the upgrade from the Depression years. After the war started, everybody had employment. And then after the war was over, that's when the whole thing started to move up, the whole country started to move up. And I guess it was worldwide, no doubt, but as far as Australia was concerned. Because after the war, well, even when just tens and thousands came back from the war. And then the country was so run down after the Depression and after the war, because there was nothing done in those years, because everything went Depression. And then during the war years, there was nothing done because of the war. Another way. And then after that, the country was so run down that there was just so much that had to be done to build it up again. And I think people became very conscious of this, and they did invest, you know, started to invest money when they got a little bit of money. And they, when they got it, well, I'm sure they did, particularly, they used it very wisely. And there are lots of investments around that you can invest your money in. Through the war, even more loans and this kind of thing. But I think mainly because the country was just so run down, that, you know, there was just so much to do, that things just gradually started to pick up.
Yes.
And that's when the economy and the whole lifestyle has changed.
And would you say, like, obviously the Depression were equally bad years in a different sense, but was there anything good to come out of it, anything at all, you know, that you could think of? Sort of, you know, whatever it be, material or social.
yeah, it's a good question, really. I guess that I think through the Depression, as far as I'm concerned, as far as remembering back, through the Depression, we were a together community.
Yes.
Through the war, the same, no doubt about that. And after the war, for a while, I think we were still a fairly together community. But then, as the communities got more affluent,
mm-hmm.
Then that started to disappear. And I think it's been a gradual process as people have become more affluent, as people have become gained more materially, and I guess in some ways in their education and so forth, I think all these things have had an effect on that togetherness.
Yes.
And we've become more individual than individualistic, that's what I say, than we were, or the community was before the war, or before the war and during the war. And it's gradually taken that on, and we're missing out a tremendous amount today, I believe, in the fact that, as I said before, people are saying, looking after themselves. They don't have to rely so much on their neighbour, so to speak, because they've got the essentials of life. They've got a car, they've got money. Most people have got some money to be able to move about, and don't have to do it themselves. They've got all the gadgets in their homes.
Independent. Well, so during the Depression and the war, people stuck together sort of and helped each other out.
Yeah, very much so.
And that would have been sort of, I suppose that would have helped an awful lot of people get through it without as much trouble as what they could have had.
Tremendous amount, yes. Well, you know, it is yourself, you've probably experienced it yourself, you know, if you're in trouble, if you've got someone you can go to and have a talk to about it, and someone, you know, you can share your problems with and so forth, it's a darn sight easier.
Sure is.
Than trying to do it yourself, and that's what so many people, I think this is where today a lot of our problems come in. People are, as I said before, they're more independent, so they think they can do it themselves instead of trying to go and get advice as to how to go about things.
Well, slightly different now. What, during the Depression and World War II, what did you do sort of in your leisure time, like play sport or
films
or what?
Yeah, yes, we had played sport, Well, through the Depression, I was only the youngest of 19 then, of course, but I can remember. Lived here all my life. The footy ground's just over the paddock here. I used to run over there. I can remember going over there. The fellows coming to play football, and they'd all put in 2 shillings a Saturday to buy the football themselves and go out and have a great time, you know. Tennis was the same type of thing. And the cricket, I know they used to do the same thing with cricket. You know, bring their own bats to play cricket and all this type of thing. Through the war, yeah, we played through the war even. We played, I played tennis through the war. Mainly because they played football and cricket, and that continued, but not on the scale, of course.
Because people left.
People left. And it was some form of entertainment when they could play it, you know. They just weren't working all the time, but they were working most of the time. But through the war, of course, we didn't have very few cars. It was still just very local. But after the war, it changed, of course, and only gradually changed. I remember I got my first motor vehicle for the vehicle for the business in about 1950-51. In the utility, Vanguard Utility. That used to be used not only in the business, but used to be used carting the tennis players around in the afternoon and all this type of thing, you know.
Was there much more money available during World War II than there was, say, during the Depression?
Yes, there was, because people were working, and through the Depression they were working. Wages probably had gone up a little bit. Through the war, not to any great extent, but at least everybody had money.
Yes.
And that was the whole thing.
The country was getting healthier.
Right. Yeah, right.
So like that would have been sort of a bit of a stark contrast to the Depression, the war, and back to back like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But generally, it was a good thing to have, well, I know it's not a good thing to have a war, but a good thing that what the war did to Berwick was a good thing, sort of.
As I said before, it's not a nice thing to say, because the war's a horrible thing, but on the other hand, it started the upgrading of the whole system. There's no doubt about that. Through its various... there's no doubt about
that. I think that's enough.
That's good.
From this interview, it can be concluded that the Depression did affect Berwick to a certain extent because unemployment was raging, as you might say, in Berwick. But as far as World War II, the effects were not as great. In fact, the effects of World War II were good to Berwick in the sense that things picked up, there was more employment, people were employed in the services, and that money was not a problem anymore. But so the impact of the Great Depression was released, as you might say, by World War II. Things were eased, the economy got better, and there's a greater demand on services and supply of goods such as farm produce. However, during World War II, things were more normal than what compared to the Great Depression. Things moved back into sort of normality, apart from the fact that most of the young men of the area were away at war. The rest of things were moved back to normal, everything ticked over as normal, and that's basically the effect on Berwick. The fact that the Great Depression had the impact of creating unemployment, and the war cleared up that job by providing employment in services at war and producing goods.